Thank you so much, Jim and Les. Certainly appreciate those renditions of those wonderful old songs. How often have you ever been fed a line by someone? We get fed a line a lot, don't we? As advertised on TV. You know, I noticed some of these as advertised TV things. I've tried some of them before. Usually they're not quite as they're advertised on TV. There's something a little less than what they actually say they are. Sometimes you're surprised and whatever is as advertised on TV actually does work like they say it's supposed to work. Or have you ever read those limited warranties? You know, if you get scratched on a Tuesday when it's raining, you know, then the warranty is expired. I mean, I'm being silly, but, you know, the limited warranties that you have, if you've done something or you didn't fill something out right or something's not quite, well, that's not our fault. That's not a part of the warranty. The warranty sometimes is very, very limited on whatever it is that you have just purchased. Or how about this one? Studies show that this pill will make you feel like $1 million. You know, you'll have no more pain or, you know, whatever that facial stuff that you've got is going to be all gone or whatever the thing is. I mean, the pills, they'll work magic every time, all the time, guaranteed, so on and so forth. All these guarantees, all these things we look at in life, all these warranties and all these whatever they are, they all fall short of giving you what you are supposed to actually have guaranteed completely. I mean, I know you have unconditional guarantees, but what happens with those? If it doesn't work, you give it back to them and then you don't have it, right? So even that guarantee isn't really quite what it's made out to be so many times. I think that's kind of what's going on in the text here this morning in Galatians chapter 3, moving on from chapter 2 where we were talking about Paul and Peter and their little tiff that they had, and Paul called Peter to the carpet on it. We get into chapter 3 and the very first thing that's said here is, who has bewitched you? Someone's been feeding you a line. Someone has been telling you something that really isn't true. And I want to talk to you about it. That's what Paul is telling the church in Galatians right now, in Galatia, that there's an issue. I look at that and I think how the Galatians could be bewitched by things and how we, even the church today, because we live in a society that we can get our information from anywhere all over the place. We can get opinions from so many different people on so many kinds of things. And you wonder, what really is the truth? And I sometimes wonder if the Church of Jesus Christ even has been, to some degree, bewitched and damaged by other voices out there that are not actually what the Word of God says for us. We already were dealing with early in the book of Galatians about how the Galatian church was buying into this Jesus plus. You know, It's Jesus, but you also have to follow the Jewish ritual. You've got to do all the things that we indicate you ought to do. And Paul was saying, no, if you do that, you take away the grace of Christ. If you do that, you take away from what he came to do. And it was kind of a Jesus plus thing. You know, we in the church sometimes traditions and ritual have replaced relationship. We're so into tradition and ritual that sometimes we have replaced relationship. Now, traditions and ritual are good. I think they're good because otherwise, if you don't have some of that, you end up with chaos in the church. I think there's good to a lot of the tradition. There's good to a lot of the ritual. I mean, we do the things we do probably because they've been good all along. If they were good for them, they're probably good for us. But don't let tradition and ritual, like the Jewish Christians were doing, some of them, replace the most important thing about this whole thing we call the gospel of Jesus Christ is relationship. It's a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Legalism versus spiritual maturity. And I think there's a difference. You know, legalism, that again was that ritual thing where we have all these rules that we have to follow. And you need to follow them to a T. And in so doing, we break away from that which Christ wants even more from us, is this spiritual maturity. And in that spiritual maturity and understanding His Word, nowhere in His Word did it ever say that the law was abolished. The moral law was abolished. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that. The only law that was abolished was the ceremonial law, the cleanliness laws, because Jesus became that unblemished lamb for us, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I even look at things like marriage. It used to be that premarital sex was wrong, and now even some in the church, if you love someone, whatever. Cohabitation, defining marriage, all these things that we in the church have allowed things to just kind of be more broadly defined. And I wonder if the church has become a little bit bewitched. Let me move on with this text, because I think Paul is dealing with a church that has been bewitched. He says in verse 2, did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Now, there's nothing wrong with human effort. I think human effort's a good thing, to try and do the best that you possibly can. There is nothing wrong with that in and of itself, but there's a problem with that, because why? Human effort isn't enough when it comes to salvation. For all has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have done so. And perhaps what was getting moved into the church in parts was, well, if you just follow all the ritual that we have, if you follow the Jewish law that was there, if you follow everything that's all a part of this, then that's what makes you truly Christian, holy and completely Christian. Now, if we start to go from human effort, or we leave the Spirit and go by human effort instead, what have we done? In essence, we've said, Jesus isn't necessary. He's an add-on. So there's nothing wrong with human effort, but when human effort is what we think takes care of the sin problem, the answer to that is no. It's noble to think we can take care of our problem by ourselves, but the law exposed our human weakness. You can go to Romans 5:20, and I'll read it completely and directly for you. Romans 5:20 lets us know why the law was there for us. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. The law was there to show us that we are sinners. The law was put in place to show us we can't do it by ourselves. Even when the law was handed down from Moses to the people, God knew full well that this law that He'd given them was not going to be followed by the people. In fact, what were they doing when the law was handed down to them? Well, let's sacrifice, or let's have the golden calf here and make sacrifices. I mean, they were a mess. Only left them for a little while. The law exposed our human weakness. So the law exposed the fact that human effort can't fill the gap. And yet these Galatians were being led to believe that if they did these things, that maybe that is enough. Goes on in Galatians 3:5. God's miracles, why were they performed? Were they performed because they obeyed the law? No, he says, not because they were obeying the law. The miracles of God were performed because He wanted them to believe in Him. Jesus did the miracles not to wow people. Jesus didn't do the miracles because you're such good people, I want to do a miracle for you. He was performing the miracles to let them know that He was the Son of God, come in human flesh. So they would know who He really was. Paul was addressing the church in Galatians, saying, this is who Jesus is. And those miracles that were performed and continue to be performed even by the disciples themselves, the apostles themselves, weren't performed because you're observing the law, because you're following the old covenant, but because you know the one who gave you the new covenant, Jesus Christ. It does not mean, and I want to make it clear to you, it does not mean the new covenant doesn't abolish the moral law of the Old Testament. Never, ever, ever. And if you ever hear that from me or you think you heard that from me, I'm telling you right now, the answer to that is no. He goes so far as to say, okay, just to show you, even in the Old Testament, this was the case, because he says then in later in the text, he says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. It doesn't say that Abraham followed the Old Testament law and therefore it was credited to him as righteousness. It says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. God knew Abraham couldn't do it too. So it was therefore by faith, not by his works. And we hear that again in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Abraham was told the world would believe or be blessed through him. Galatians 3, 8. So again, Paul is addressing them from one of their own who they claimed, you know, Abraham is our father. And whatever Abraham says goes. He says, okay, here's what was said about Abraham in the Old Testament. He believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Paul needed to share with the Galatian church that by following the law, you're following a dead end, because you can't follow the law. As I said earlier, he said, we're all in a boat together, and that boat we're in together is a boat that says, all of us have sinned and all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. In fact, he says in Galatians 3:10, following the verses as we continue down there, cursed is everyone who doesn't do everything written. Crap. Well, I'm lost. I'm lost either in deed or I'm lost in thought, but I'm lost. Cursed is everyone. Verse 10, by the way, if you think I'm not telling you the truth. Verse 10, Galatians 3, cursed is everyone who doesn't do everything that is written. So human effort is a dead end, isn't it? Human effort alone is a dead end. And he's telling the Galatian church, human effort is a dead end. And if you're being told you have to follow these rituals, you got to follow these certain things that you were told to follow, even as best as you try to follow them, you're not going to be able to do it to perfection. I came to relieve you of that burden. I did it for you, not Paul. Jesus did it for me. He accomplished everything that was written. In fact, he was the Word himself. So then we go from verse 10 where he says, well, cursed is everyone who doesn't do everything that's written. In verse 11 it says, clearly no one is justified before God by the law. Basically saying, hello, I've watched us and we can't do it. The righteous will live by faith. And then it gets to verse 13 and here's what it says. And I want us to get this. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Someone had to pay for our mess. And he said, I'm it. Because if we are under the law, we are cursed. Because we can't obey everything under the law, right? By example here, we are cursed because we couldn't keep it all. He says, I became a curse for you. I paid for what you couldn't pay for, because God is a holy and a just God. There needed to be something, a payment, atonement for that. And he says, I'll be it. Jesus says, I'm it. And God looks at Jesus and says, you are the perfect Lamb of God, and you suffice. You can take it upon yourself. So he became a curse for you and us. you and me, by hanging on a tree. That was a real issue for the Jews, by the way, for those of you who didn't know that. It was a major issue for the Jews. Because this is a quote from the Old Testament. To a Jew who saw Jesus hanging on a tree, they'd say that can't be the way, because cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. If he's the Son of God, he shouldn't be hanging on a tree. You see, that was a real hurdle for the Jews to accept, because cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. But that was the whole point. Yes, the very Son of God became a curse on the tree. But he overcame that. How? Because he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. Paul is trying to share with the Galatian church, you have to understand, human effort isn't going to cut it. And that's what these Judaizers are telling you. They're telling you that human effort is what's going to cut it. You see, no, Jesus is the one who cut it. He's the one who did it. And we need to remember that and be clear about that. And as we are being clear about that and being clear about grace and being clear about mercy and all those things, realize that grace and mercy acknowledge the law. Right? Think about it. Grace acknowledges the law, because grace says, you messed up. But grace says, I got you covered. Mercy says what? You messed up and you deserve something. But I'm going to show you mercy. It acknowledges the law. So we as the church should never be about limited warranties and as advertised on TV and how often we're fed these kind of lines. There's only one that can give us the line that is a guarantee, because that guarantee says, even if you die, you'll be with me forever. Isn't that awesome? That guarantee is a guarantee. Don't send the product back because it didn't work for you. This one works, and it works even in death, because out of death comes life in Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen from a church that doesn't amen much? Okay. All right. Sounds good. So stop trying to earn it. Instead, let's start living it, okay? Stop trying to earn salvation, because you can't earn it. Instead, let's live in His grace. Let's live in His mercy. And let's live knowing that God's law is there for us to follow as well as best we can. And when we don't, thank you, God, for forgiveness. Thank you that I can confess my sin and you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Isn't that cool? That's part of the guarantee, too. That's in the fine print. The fine print's all right here. It's right there, really, in plain sight for you. The guarantee is complete and whole. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for someone like Paul who saw the church wandering away. The church leaving the core, and the core was Jesus Christ. Him crucified and risen again. And the church was wandering off. God, sometimes we as the church of Jesus Christ, we wander off too. Remind us of the core. Remind us of the gospel. Remind us of your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness. But remind us that we were bought at a price, and we can live in that freedom of knowing Jesus died for my sin. Jesus rose again. Thank you. For it's in His precious, holy, and wonderful name we pray. Amen.